Luke 15, verse 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders, murmured, saying, "Why, this man receiveth sinners, eats with them." Someone said, many true words have been spoken in ridicule. And many times real tribute is paid by the tongue of hatred. And that's what we find right here. These religious leaders saw our Lord eating, visiting with these publicans and sinners. And they said, "Why, this man receives sinners, eats with them." And they thought that they would brand him with shame. That's what they meant to do. They thought they would hold him up to ridicule before the people. That's what they intended to do. They thought they would bring reproach upon him forever by declaring, "Well, this man is a friend of sinners. He eats with sinners. Behold, a gluttonous man, a wine bibber, a friend, a genuine, real friend to the fallen, to the weak, to the despised, to the lowly, to sinners." Oh, how blind they are who think they see. Their own words reveal their total blindness. This man, this Savior, receives sinners, is the friend of sinners. Well, that's why he came into the world. Paul wrote, this is a faithful saying. This is a true saying. This is worthy of acceptation by all men, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of which I am the chief. His incarnation reveals his love and compassion for sinners. He identified with us in the lowest estate. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. His name, when the angel gave to Joseph his name, he said, "You call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins." His name indicates his love for sinners. His chief office, what are his offices? Prophet, to declare good news to the poor. Priest, what does a priest do? He deals with sin, he deals with sacrifice, he deals with blood, and he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Mediator. There's one God and one mediator, but a mediator is not of one, it's of two. The offended and the offender. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's his office. That's why he came. That's his name. And his death on the cross. His death on the cross can be summed up in one verse of Scripture. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. And by his stripes, we're healed. And while hanging on that cross, our sovereign Lord, our suffering substitute and Savior, gave this crowning example of his great love for sinners. When he was pleased to awaken and to call and to reveal himself to a dying the outcast whom the world decided was not fit to live. So they nailed him to a cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ loved him, chose him, called him, and took him to glory with him. He said, today, you of all people will be with me in paradise. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus Christ ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. And don't let conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream, because all the fitness he requires is to feel your need of a Savior of sinners. That's all you need. What is our difference with these men? They saw our Lord visiting, talking, eating with sinners, publicans. A publican we'll talk about tonight was hated by the Jews more than any. They always identified publicans with harlots. They were Jews who collected Roman taxes from their own people. They hated publicans. But our difference with these men, these religious men and their charges against Christ, what they consider bad news, this man eateth with sinners, we call good news. I'm glad he does. I couldn't have any part with him and of him and in his presence because I'm a sinner. What they call his shame, God calls his greater glory. What is your glory, Moses said? My glory is my goodness. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. That's his greater glory. The rock that to them was a stumbling stone, that same rock to us is a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. And all that rest upon him and build upon him will never be ashamed. That's our chief cornerstone. Their stumbling stone is our cornerstone. The crucified Savior, which to them is foolishness. The preaching of Christ crucified to them who are perishing is foolishness. It is to this world in which we live. It's foolishness. It's nonsense. It's to us the very wisdom and power of a sovereign God. Well, how does he react to these people? Let's see what our Lord says to them. In verse 2, they said, they murmured, they were upset. They were really upset. They were holy people. They wouldn't be identified with these sinners. But they said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. All right. So it says in verse 3, and he spake this parable unto. Who's speaking? He's speaking. This is all, again, in my message, are the words of Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. To whom? He's speaking this to those who criticize his love and identification with sinners. His love for sinners and identification with them. They're criticizing him for his love for sinners. That's the people to whom he's speaking. What does he speak? Look, and he spake this parable. Not three parables or these parables. This is one parable. That's all. All right, here it is, verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he hath found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls his friends together and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me. I found my sheep which was lost. Now, to you, the Lord is calling our attention to somebody special. Who is that somebody?
Is it the lost sheep?
No, sir. Is it the 99? I know a lot of preachers preach on this and get sidetracked on the 99, but he's not talking about the 99. Is it the neighbors?
No.
It's the shepherd. Did you notice when I read that the word he is there seven times and I once? What man among you having 100 sheep, if he lose one, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? The leading character in this part of the parable is the shepherd. The shepherd seeking the sheep. And when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulder and brings it home. Now, the shepherd here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking of his love for his sheep. He has 100 sheep, and he loves them. One of them's lost. He loves it so much, he leaves everything that he owns and goes and hunts that one sheep. He's talking about he's called the good shepherd. He's called the great shepherd. He's called the chief shepherd. And like this man here, he owns all of those 100 sheep. They're all his. The ones that are found, the ones that are home, the ones that are in glory, the ones that are safe, and the ones that are lost. They're his. Let's look at that over in John chapter 10. What man among you having 100 sheep? One of his sheep are lost. He leaves the 99 and goes and finds the one that's lost. This is the shepherd. He's a kind and loving and good and chief and great shepherd who loves his sheep. Now look at John 10. It's there, verse 14. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And I'm known of mine. I know every one of my sheep. I know every one of them. How long has he known them? From all eternity. He knows them and they know him. If they don't know him now, they will know him. But they do. He knows them and they know him. And another shepherd they will not follow, another voice they will not hear. They're his sheep. All right, look at the next verse, 15. Even so, even as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father. How does he know his sheep? He knows his sheep like the Father knows him, and he knows the Father. My sheep and I have the same relationship my Father and I have. That's right. I know my sheep, they know me, as my Father knows me, and I know my Father. That's the relationship they have. And listen, and I lay down my life for my sheep. They're the ones for whom I came. They're the ones for whom I went to the cross. They're the ones for whom I obeyed the law. I lay down my life for my sheep, not for this world, for my sheep. And notice this, and I'll be successful. Verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, and them I must bring. I must. The Son of Man must go through Jerusalem. The Son of Man must be lifted up. The Son of Man must find his sheep. He cannot fail. Them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. I'll not leave them in the wilderness. I'll find them, and I'll lay them on my shoulders, and I'll bring them home. I must. And there'll be one fold and one shepherd again. Now look at verse 29. Where did he get these sheep? Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, he gave me to them and them to me. The Father, this my sheep are a gift of my Father. He prayed in John 17. He said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. I pray not for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me. They are thine, and all thine are mine, and mine are thine. The Father gave him these sheep. The Father gave them. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Who's the chief person in this part of this parable? It's the shepherd. Now notice in verse in verse 5. This search, in verse 4 and 5 together, this search is a personal search. It says that which of you having a sheep, verse 4, doth not leave the 99 and personally go after that sheep. He didn't send somebody after that sheep. He didn't call a hireling and tell him to go find a sheep, because a hireling whose sheep is not the shepherd, they won't follow. He comes himself. The Lord Jesus Christ goes after that which is lost. And what's the second thing? He goes into the wilderness. It's a costly search. Where is the wilderness? It's this world. God's glory, God's heaven, is perfect, immaculate glory, holiness. Christ left heaven. That's probably where the 99 are, and came into this world. The Old Testament saints came into this world, the wilderness of sin, and endured all that that wilderness put upon him. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Our Lord endured the wilderness, and he endured it personally, suffering, and he persevered. And he goes after that which is lost. How long does he pursue it? Till he finds it. The shepherd will never come home without that sheep. You see, the Heavenly Father made him our surety, put us into his hands, and sent him into the world to redeem a covenant people. And he'll not come home until he's bought them, found them, called them, every one of them. And then the cry is, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift him up, the everlasting doors. The King of glory will come in. Who's this King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts, the Lord of many, the successful, triumphant, victorious, redeeming Lord, coming in, bringing his sheaves with him. That's right. Personal, it's costly, it's persevering, and it's unaided. And when he found it, he put it on his shoulders. He doesn't leave one of his sheep to a caretaker, a counselor, to some of these people that in religion to make their own way. He personally puts that sheep on his shoulders, and he bears it all the way through life. Cast your care on him. He cares for you. Don't cast it on somebody else. He cares for you. He puts that sheep on his shoulder and brings it home, and it's successful. And when he comes home, verse 6, he calls his friends and his neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, I found my sheep. Lost in Adam, ruined by the fall, I found every one of them. Now you come and rejoice with me. And there's joy in heaven over one sinner, one lost sheep, one of the Lord's own, whom the shepherd brings home. But he doesn't stop there. He's talking to these people, said he's a friend of sinners. Yes, he's the chief shepherd. They're his sheep. But he brings somebody else into the picture. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, as she lose one, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently till she finds it. Now, who's the chief person? And when she finds it, she calls her friend. Now, who's the chief person here? It's the woman. It's not the coin. The coin lost. Doesn't even know he's lost. Lying there in the dust, satisfied. He doesn't care whether he's in her hand, in her purse, or on her cabinet, or in the dust. What difference does it make to him? But he's lost in her house. And we're lost in his house. This is my Father's world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. He raises up the wicked even for the day of his purpose and power. It's her house. And she calls for a light. She needs something in her hand to find this coin. Now I know the shepherd, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, goes out and finds his sheep. He doesn't need anything or anybody. It's just his suffering. He found it and brought it home. But this woman's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit need the light when he goes seeking for sinners. This is the light. Thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. The coin is fallen in the dust as we are. The coin is lifeless and ignorant of its state as we are. The coin is valued by the woman. It's important to her, and she's going to have it back. So she lights a candle, and she sweeps the house, and she goes around with that candle till that candle zeroes in on that coin. There's my coin. There's my coin. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This person pictures the Holy Spirit, and this light is the Word of God. It says here in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 4, knowing, brethren, your election of God. I know you're God's elect. How? Because our gospel came not to you in word only. It came in power, in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance. It came in word, but it came taught and revealed and enlightened by the Holy Spirit who brings that word. It's the Spirit of God. It's not by might nor power, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So you have two things in the birth of a sinner. You have the Holy Spirit and you have the Word. Born of the Spirit and the Word. Turn with me to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom you trusted. Ephesians 1:13, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit comes with the word. Like Lydia came down by the seashore, by the riverside, where they were meeting to pray. And Paul the apostle came, and he preached the word. It doesn't say much about many of those women, whether they heard or not. Actually, they heard with these ears. But Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, attended to the things spoken by Paul. The Holy Spirit came with the word, with the light. She was found. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear except there be a preacher? Who is that preacher? Well, God uses men, but here's the preacher. I want you to turn to John 16. Here's the preacher. Here's the one with the lamp. Here's the one that makes it effectual. Here's the one that makes it regenerating, illuminating, enlightening. Verse 13, John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, hath come, John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth is come, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. He'll glorify me. He'll receive of mine and show it to you. There's the one. So when our Lord is saying here to these people, the shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ who came to redeem his people. The woman seeking the coin is the Holy Spirit using the word. Without the word, there's no light. All is darkness. Without the word, there's no opening of the mind. You know, I may have eyes, but I can't see if there's no light. A person with no eyes can't see with light or anything. But a person who has eyes can't see if there's no light. We can't know who God is unless he tells us. We can't know who we are unless he tells us. We can't know who Christ is, what he did, why he did it, where he is now, unless he tells us. Got to have light. And that light's got to be in the hands of the Spirit of God. And there's joy in the presence of the angel over one lost sheep, one lost coin. All right, let's get to the next part of this parable. And he said, still talking to these men, a certain man had two sons. Well, you know the story here, the younger one, the younger you. I let them know. I'll read it later, but not right now. But who's the chief character, the special person in this one? It's not the son. It's the father. That's right. This is an account. This is an account of the love and mercy and grace of the Father in receiving those whom the Son brings, whom the Spirit finds and enlightens. I've heard preachers preach this part of the parable here as an account of a man's conversion, but this is not an account of a man's conversion. It's the account of our Heavenly Father's love for His children. His loving kindness, even when we're lost and dead in sin and have offended Him so greatly, and His willingness to receive us, to accept us in Christ, and to welcome the prodigal back to the house. You say, preacher, this is not an account of a man's conversion. No, there's no seeking Savior here. There's no cross of suffering here. There's no one gone into the wilderness to find Him. There's no Holy Spirit here. There's no Holy Spirit conviction. There's no light of revelation. There's no gospel preached. If you just read this part of the text only, without the Savior who died and the Holy Spirit who regenerates, and taken as this man coming to himself, well, you've got sinner save yourself. That's what you got here. You have to preach, he's out here and didn't hear anything. Had no influence on him. No one seeking him. No one hunting him. No one coming to save him. He just came to himself, I'm going back home where things are better than out here. No. That's not how we come. We don't just say things are better over at the house, you know, and if I still had my money, I'd stay where I am. No. No, that's not right. He's got to want to go home. And that's the sheep has got to be found. The coin has got to be enlightened. This is a story of the Father. Let's see here in beginning with verse 17. He came to himself. And he said, how many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough and to spare? And I'm perishing. It's strictly a physical thing here. It's strictly being upset over physical thing. I'm going to rise and I won't go home. Nobody found him. Nobody put him on his shoulders. Nobody brought him home. He walked home. Now, that's not conversion. You see what I'm trying to point out to you? That's not conversion. And I'm going to say this and say that and say the other, you know. But now, here's the great, great story here. Verse 20. And he arose and came home. But here he's a great way off. His focus is on the Father. Now, we're talking about a great way off. He must have been coming over a hill somewhere, a great way off. Well, what's the Father doing? He's looking for him. He's looked out that window ever since that boy left. Never stopped loving him. Never ceased to love him. Never stopped hoping he'd come home. He just kept looking. And one day he saw a familiar figure coming over that hill. Father saw him a great way off and had compassion. Just suddenly, well, there's that renegade coming back. Oh, he wept over many a tear over that boy. Saw him coming home, had compassion, always had compassion. Our God is full of compassion. And he literally ran. He literally walked out that door and ran out there and fell on his neck and just covered him with kisses. Now, what's that saying to you? That's saying one thing right here. We're talking about a son. We're not talking about a stranger. We're talking about a son. This is this man's son. His father saw him, loved him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And you can expect, I don't care how far out in the wilderness you've gone and how far into sin, you can expect when the Lord Jesus Christ brings you home, the Father will accept you. He'd been looking for you. That's right. Have compassion. Well, the son said, Father, I've sinned. I said, well, in your sight, I'm not worthy to be called a son. But the father paid no attention to that. It's not time for confession here. It's time for for reunion. It's time for embracing. It's time for rejoicing. Time for rejoicing. Son, my son's come home. And he turned to his servants and said to them, bring the best robe. That's the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. When a sinner comes, when a sinner is found by the shepherd, redeemed by the shepherd, brought home by the shepherd, and the Holy Spirit's given him a love for the shepherd and an understanding of his sins and an understanding of who saved him. And the Father covering with the best robe, the righteousness of Christ. Put a ring on his finger. What's the ring mean? He's an heir. The king wears the ring of state, and the prince wears it too. Somebody said that ring means the love of God never stops. It's constant. No edges. But this is heirship, love of God. Put shoes on him. The best shoes. Shoes on his feet. He's going to walk in paths of righteousness. Walk with God. That's going to be his walk from now on. He's going to walk with God. And bring hither the fatted calf. Got to have a lamb, hadn't we? got to have a table of the Lord. We got a robe of righteousness. We got a ring of sonship, heirship. We got shoes to walk in paths of righteousness. And we come around the table of the Lord and take the bread and the wine and say, we live by his love, live by his grace. That's it. This man receives sinners, and so does the Holy Spirit. And bless your heart, so does the Father. Embraces them, and receives them, and loves them forever, because he always has. There he is. And I want you always remember, when you look at this parable, he wasn't looking for volunteers or strangers. He's looking for his sheep and his coin and his son. And they do get lost, don't they? We can testify to that, every one of us. But he'll find them. The other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. They be one fold, one shepherd. My Father gave them to me. And they're not only in my hands, they're in his hands, and nobody can pluck them out. That's good news. What those fellas said, bad to them, that's good to us. Shame to them, glory to us. I'm glad my Heavenly Father loves wayward sons. That's right, because that's the only kind he has. And that's the only kind you have, too. That's right, daughters, too. Only kind you have.